He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys. Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star.
Baby, you can drive my car. And baby, I love you. We are both here, which is wonderful, for this listening group, today's show. A few observations before we get into specific thoughts. Well, actually, the observations are specific thoughts. There's going to be a big price cut, apparently, in a couple of one electric car, which is significant because maybe it is going to cause or spread around to other places or other manufacturers. GM's going to cut the price of the 2023 Bolt EV by around $6,000 for the model year, for that year. This is big news, I think, for a vehicle that both Jay and I have said was a very good vehicle for its size and for its ability to be electric around our listing area. The price, I can't remember the price, Jay, you may jump in here, of it before you went for the incentives and the tax givebacks was, I believe, not discounted, because you found some really cheap ones, in the high 30s to low 40s, question mark, Jay?
Yes, and I saw that same announcement you did about a week ago, or a little less than a week ago, and I actually went online immediately to try to see if there were 2023 models available and what the prices were advertised at on all the usual sites we go to, like Auto Trader, Car Gurus, et cetera. They are just announcing the 2023s, and so the prices, the vehicles shown are still 2022s and priced in like 39, 41, something like that. But historically, the Bolt has been available with all sorts of incentives. So I think the price cut is really an adjustment to the reality of things. But it'll be interesting, and I agree with you. It's a great vehicle. We know it had issues with the batteries. All of them were replaced under warranty, and the people who bought the early models of 2017s and 18s actually got upgraded battery packs. So, yes, I still think it's a great vehicle, and it'll be interesting to see how it fares.
There are a couple running around our listing area whose owners I have bumped into, and they have been very pleased with it. The 2023 price for the base, which you very rarely see in a dealer's lot, is $26,595, including shipping. There's a model called the Bolt EUV, and that's going to start at $28,195 with shipping. That is a significant reduction, as Jay has commented on, or didn't comment on, but agrees with, over the original pricing. And Jay's right. Incentives were around on the Bolts, and Jay found some two or three years ago, I think, in the 20s available, 20,000-plus range available, which was a very good price. I do not know whether I suppose if you were able to find one and buy one of that, you still got a federal tax giveback of
$7,500. No, tax breaks on GM electric vehicles.
What?
There are no more tax
breaks. Oh, there are no more?
So
okay,
but I have a question, given the you'll forgive me, escalating prices of energy right now, which includes electricity. How much does it cost to charge one of those things?
Well, I do not know the answer. I have somebody who's trying to figure it out. For listeners who want to know how to figure out what it's costing them, you can buy an electronic gadget you plug into your wall, and then you plug your charger cord into that, and it will tell you how many kilowatt hours you used to charge your vehicle, and you multiply that by the cost on your electric bill of kilowatt hour dollars per kilowatt hour, and you can figure it out. What you have to do is, of course, is don't plug anything else into this outlet with this gadget, or else you'll blend additional electric usage
Well,
And I suppose this is politically whatever. The police are probably going to, the word police are probably going to come for me. But, you know, it's entirely possible that if you can afford an electric vehicle, you don't care how much it's charged.
I just don't even like to go with those comments anymore.
I'm not.
You know, we're going to transpose that to the gas price. So I just filled up, put 13 and a half gallons of fuel into one of my vehicles this morning, $63.95.
Which is totally offensive.
I don't have a premium gas-required vehicles that require me to use premium grade, and that's a lot higher. But you use that same old thing. If you can afford the car, why whine about the premium price as well as the regular price? So let's drop it from this show, because people are tired of hearing excuses about if you can afford it, you can pay it. Or it's just not relevant, I don't think.
Well, I would like to throw in there that I appreciate your opinion. What I am saying is there are a bunch of people who are really being pinched by those prices.
Yes, and that's the people with not the incomes to be able to afford the gas price and usage. And I am empathetic with this group.
And I am as well.
It's that way all across the board, food prices, everything else. We can't do much about it. It's not a political situation, really. And everybody's trying to make a political thing about it.
I'm not trying to make a political thing
about
it.
No, but there are a lot of people that are. It's a Biden administration's problem, they've got to go.
Just to come back,
things will get better, but there's no solution to this. Okay,
that's a good approach. There's no solution. Okay, yes, Jay. Just to come back to
a little bit more optimistic on solutions or elements of solutions.
Please,
anyway. But price of electricity is going up. Prices of gas are going up sharply, and yes, if you bought a vehicle that runs on premium gas, and I do put gas in them once in a while, it's kind of frightening.
How's diesel for you?
Diesel for me is the car stays in the garage for a good chunk of the time. up to $7, but I think the last I bought some diesel not too long ago, just under $6, and the tank I filled totally before that was near Windsor Locks, where there's a lot of warehouses and a lot of trucking companies, and diesel was a dollar cheaper than it was along Route 22 in New York State at the time. So it was like $5.59 for diesel, which is the cheapest I had bought it in a long time.
And I bought that in Lakeville for $5.59 a gallon with a 10-cent off for my mobile gas card. It was $5.69. And that was the same day or close to, and I mentioned it to Jay, and it didn't last long in this particular station, and it's now at 6.09, back up where it was before it went down to that sudden drop to 5.68, minus 10 cents for me. And that was in Lakeville, Connecticut, for those who wanted to know. It didn't last long. It stayed high in Sharon, which is 6.5 miles away. It was 6.09 this time, Well, it was 5.68 in Lakeville, for those who were really watching it like I do. So yes, I got 5 gallons of diesel for a diesel tractor I have. I wish I'd gotten 20.
If you do the math, you can still come out ahead in some vehicles. My vehicle, for instance, the gas version of it gets 22 miles per gallon, and diesel version that I drive gets 30 miles to the gallon. So, you know, a little quick math, and you can figure out if you come out ahead or not. And, the diesel offers other advantages that don't even come into the equation of just pure cost.
Okay, back to observations. I think people driving some pickup trucks and trucks are driving a little bit slower these days on the roads. I was behind vehicles on my commute up from New Canaan this morning, and there were definitely some people in pickup trucks. They're not the same ones that I saw every day, so I can't tell you that they were driving slower. But when they're going the speed limit, the posted speed limit on the roads, as opposed to 5 or 10 miles an hour above, which seems to be mostly what you can do safely without fear of getting ticketed, you do save on fuel usage. My Jeep, the 415, which has a regular four-cylinder engine, which gets between 24 and 27 miles a gallon driven aggressively, is now getting 28 to 29 miles per gallon at these slower speeds and calmer driving methods. So there are ways to get better gas mileage for those who are really pinched. Few people do it, maybe less than 2% of the people do it. I don't know. I don't know why I bring a percentage up. But I've been feathering the throttle and not accelerating as quickly from lights and trying to go up hills faster. And there's definitely, I have the trip computer on. It shows just exactly what my mileage use, my miles per gallon usage is, either instantaneously or average. And I can get 2 miles per gallon better on this particular vehicle if I don't drive too aggressively. And I still probably don't get to my destination more than 10 minutes later than I would if I were driving aggressively. Because eventually you always get behind a person who's slower than you're going anyway if you've been passing people to get catch up to that person. So there are ways to get better mileage, but it seems like it's a trying thing to get people to do it. Jay?
Well, that's a whole other conversation, and I would love to
buy just had
this
it.
One. But
that was called a monologue, sweetie.
A monologue, right.
All right, moving forward.
Let Jay talk about Lime Rock.
I haven't been to Lime Rock in a while. I mean, you're talking about Memorial Weekend. That was a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
What
are you? I'm actually, if you don't mind, what are you finding out there in the big wide world? Just drive it with you, people who are doing things.
Are you talking about Lime Rock or big wide world in
big wide world?
Big wide world in general.
I don't know. I haven't traveled that much. I traveled a little. You know, I was in Europe a few weeks ago. Then I was in Arizona, and we can get back to the price of fuel again. I think.
Basically, what I'm wondering is anybody changing anything, or are they just yenting?
No, I don't think people are changing much of anything.
Okay.
To be quite honest.
Okay, so they're just yenting. That was easy. All right. What cars? What's coming? Anything of interest coming out?
So, what I want to talk a little bit about is that the new car market situation versus the used car market, and people are predicting the prices of new cars have gone up, I think, 12% in the last
year. Plus ADMs.
And the prices of used car has gone up 16%, and there is a concern. That the price of used cars is going to come down crashing. And that may or may not be the case. I think the prediction among the industry specialists is that prices will come down by 2 or 3%. I think it could be a little bit more. It probably won't come down crashing all that hard. Just because the new car situation is still going to be, we have a tight supply of new cars. Right now there are, I think, less than 600,000 new cars on lots throughout the country. That is down from, it was several million a couple of years ago. So, for instance, Toyota, Kia, Hyundai have like 21 days of inventory on their lots.
And Subaru much less.
What's that?
Subaru is much less. It's single
digits. Yeah, and Dodge is a lot more, and Alpha is over 100 days of inventory. So
right. Nobody
and
wants
if you're
them.
Buying a new car, and if in this market you're trying to get a deal on a new car, one of the things you want to do is look at brands that are not that popular necessarily. And, for example, I like cars. I was looking at Alfa Giulia sedans just this morning, and you can get new Alfa Giulia sedans for well under MSRP.
Wow.
On the other hand, if you look at Subarus, Toyotas, even GM product, Ford product, you're looking at sometimes several thousand dollars over MSRP. I have a friend who bought a new Range Rover recently, and the dealer told him, "Oh, Mr. So-and-so, you're a good customer, so we'll only charge you $1,000 over MSRP. We charge everybody else $4,000 over MSRP." And I just looked at him and said, and are you supposed to feel good about that?
Actually, you are, as long as inventory remains tight
from that
and you want your vehicle. The only cars, probably two cars that I bought in my history that I bought at sticker price, with no ADMs, and that's ADM is additional dealer markup stickers that are posted usually next to the Moroni so-called manufacturer sticker that you see on most vehicles unless they've been removed, which I have found is going on at some dealerships so that you can't see the price as you're perusing them on your own without a salesperson hanging over your hat, or your shoulders. Audi is charging $3,000 over the sticker price, and they're getting them because the inventory is so rare. You either have to sit and wait for inventory to increase, which could take 9 months to a year, in some case, extreme cases, and or you just satisfy your need to have a new car and you pay it. And this is an interesting thing that's going on. Of course, used car prices are staying high partly because of that. I think they went up in April, Jay. You probably know that briefly. In April, used car prices were firming or increasing slightly over, I believe, the March pricing, where there was some suggestion that the prices were going to, I don't think we should use the word tank, but I'm going to because I can't think of another thing, starting sometime this year. So prices are all over the map. I know people that if they're now calling dealers and saying, how much do you charge over the sticker? And they're hanging up and saying, I'm not going to buy from you. That is not a good way to approach a dealer if you're
sure
looking at cars.
It cuts the conversation short. Not everybody.
It sure does. But it doesn't get you anywhere if unless you want to go 50 miles or 60 miles or 100 miles away until you can find some dealer that's willing to sell
for $5,000. I would drive a lot more than 100 miles. I'll tell you that right now.
And I don't think you're alone, Jay. Just on that one. I mean,
so on that note, I came across a website and I don't know much about it, but it's called markups.org, and they list, I think, pretty much every single dealer in the country, or a bunch of dealers. There are hundreds and hundreds of dealers mentioned nationwide, name of the dealer, state, city, and the average markup above MSRP, or MSRP if they're selling. And it just gives you an idea of who is gouging the country or not. It's a quick way. You don't have to place a call and get hung up on. You can just look it up. And maybe save a lot of time and some money by doing so. Again, there are ways of buying cars still at a reasonable price, but it obviously is not a buyer's market.
It takes a savvy person to do it, though, and a patient person to do it. Which I don't know how many of the percentage of our listening audience would be willing to undertake it at that level. But I agree, you can find ways to buy cars with deals. Slow-moving cars such as the Alfa Romeos, Fiat, Cinquecentos, the 500s, which are only a couple of models that are still being imported, I think, are the kinds of vehicles that you probably don't see additional dealer markup pricing, and maybe can get deals on them. But maybe you don't want those cars. That's the problem for the sellers of the cars. Jaguar, I think Jaguar is really all but tanking in the U.S. as far as I can see, but in the sales numbers that came out for, I believe, April or May, they were in the three-digit figures for the month, not four digits or five digits, as the major manufacturers see. I don't know how the dealerships make money selling 150 Jaguars.
Well,
350 Jaguars across the dealership line in 1 month.
Luckily for them, they usually are Land Rover, Range Rover dealers as well. So
that is true.
They're coming
and
out
they're
away.
Doing fine.
But Jaguar has really messed up things in the last couple of years. Yeah. It looked promising when I think when was it? 3, 4, 5 years ago, they announced the F-Type SUV. It should have been a super hit, and it's just a flop. I think I've seen one in the time it's been out.
Yeah, the E-Paces are not doing well either. I don't know what's going on with Jaguar. Anyway.
That's what I meant, the E-Pace. See, I can't even remember the name of it. On a side note, and the prize for ridiculousness, I think, of the week goes to Cadillac.
Cadillac, yep.
With the
Black Wings.
I was thinking of the 2023 Escalade V. So the V is the performance line at Cadillac.
Yeah, with a major engine.
So you now have a $150,000 Escalade with just under 700 horsepower that can do 0 to 60 in 4.4 seconds. Nowhere is there any mention of what the gas mileage is going to be. But I don't know. It seems like it's kind of hitting the
ridiculous level
at a difficult time. But you know what? It probably will sell a bunch of them.
Well, not only will it sell a bunch of them, but I have a real estate client who is in line to get one. Maybe not that particular one, but a super high performance Cadillac, and he says he's number third in line, and he lost out on getting a 2022 completely, so he's now in for 2023, and he doesn't know when he's going to get it. So these super high performance vehicles are also scarce as hen's teeth in production. I don't think it's necessarily a chips related thing. I think it's just there are more people who want this particular limited production line of the Cadillac than they are producing of them. So be it. And the dealers are marking them up above whatever the sticker price is on them.
And I don't dare say what I would say normally under the circumstances, so I'll just leave that. I'll just leave that to the listener's imagination.
Let's talk about bicyclists on the roads. They're out
in force.
In force. Fortunately, many of them are having fairly good blinking markers on their backs of their bikes, as well as headlights on the front. But these roads around our listing area are so narrow that there's really not a bike lane, even though you see a bike lane sort of painted on the side of the road.
And
they vary between 2 feet and about 5 inches, depending on where
the road is
going.
You don't need a bike lane. It's called sharing the road.
But on both sides. But my question is this. A long time ago, I heard that you were supposed to ride single file, but is that not true?
I do not know the law about that.
Can you ride abreast? Just because
you do not, I think it's and again, and this is to my bigger point of
sharing the road, right?
Sharing the road as opposed to abiding by strict rules. The more rules you have, the harder it is to either,
follow them.
Follow them, and certainly enforce them. I think it makes a lot of common sense. The idea of side-by-side cycling is when you're riding in a big pack, you make it a shorter pack. And therefore, yes, it may be harder to pass, a bunch of cyclists. But if they're all in one or two rows as opposed to be strung out on a half a mile distance, it makes it easier to pass a whole bunch of them at once. I think that's
That's the premise, okay? Because we don't have that here. What we have is, five or six people riding together, and that is difficult for road sharing.
So you have bike tours, and there are bike tours around this corner at different times of the year.
Well,
so as you have to do, you just got to focus on it, keep your eyes on the road, and be careful when you're coming up on bicycles because they sometimes have rear view mirrors on their head, but. Many times because they've got earpieces of something in their ears, so they don't hear the traffic.
Okay.
And Jay?
I don't know about that, but I think the bigger premise, sharing the road and trying to be logical. I was watching a video this morning where the question was who was at fault, and it was a situation of merging traffic and the vehicle that merged with a trailer, no blinker in the back, and the vehicle in the lane, one of the road lanes in the right lane, just did not let the vehicle merge, and they collided, and one flipped over. Whose fault is it? Well, it's everybody's fault, because just looking ahead and sharing the road would have
helped
prevented that.
Yeah, and I find what's really interesting. It's rare, but you can still communicate with your eyes when you're talking with the driver to see what they are thinking. In most cases, and I guess I recommend that in the final seconds of this show. Anyone want to endorse it?
I'm all with you on that,
Robin.
I'm with you too.
This is rare. He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Geeks.